I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Got a couple of stories about women musicians in this half hour of the show. Both have Africa connections. One is a Ugandan rapper living in East Africa. The other is a famous American musician who plays the blues and has her connection, musical connection, in West Africa. So stick around for that. But first, a very different sort of African story. And it begins with this uncomfortable question: how much in U.S. dollars are human lives worth? Answer, about $150 billion a year. That's an estimate of how much traffickers earn globally from modern slavery. More than Coke, more than Nike, more than Microsoft. The selling of people is big business, and it's a business with many sides to it. Domestic workers forced to clean without pay, or young women lured abroad to follow their dreams, then forced into sexual slavery. Also, girls abducted from their homes and used as commodities of war. These things happen every day, both overseas and here in the U.S. Our Across Women's Lives team has been investigating a part of the trafficking story that we don't often hear about. What happens to the women who are freed from slavery? How do they rejoin their communities, reunite with their families, or get justice? We'll be hearing about this all week, starting with this story from The World's Jasmine Garst about a young woman from Nigeria who made that journey out of trafficking.
Halima was 15 when she came to England. She remembers her Aunt Miriam dressed her up.
She dressed me really smart.
Really smart. An elegant outfit, sunglasses. Before they headed to the airport, Halima grabbed the phone number she'd written on a piece of paper.
I put the number inside tissue, I wrap it. I put it inside the bag to put it under me so that it wouldn't get wet.
She wrapped the number in tissue, then in plastic, so it wouldn't get wet. And she hid it under her shirt. When they got to London, Aunt Miriam and Halima made their way to King's Cross, a massive, grimy old train station. Aunt Miriam got on the phone and started yapping away, as she often would. And that's when Halima did it.
I run as fast as I can.
She ran as fast as she could, weaved her way through the thick stream of commuters, past the beggars, and bolted out of the building, into the streets of London. And she kept running, as fast as her small legs could carry her. It's been 15 years since Halima ran out of that train station. She's almost 30 now, but there's a childlike quality about her. She has the body of a small ballerina. She's wearing glittery slippers, sparkly little earrings. And when I ask why she ran away that day, we stepped outside to talk. Halima doesn't remember much about where she's from. Somewhere in Nigeria. She knows she had a good childhood there.
I'm from middle-class family and everything was fine. We're living okay.
Her family was middle-class, and she knows when she was 10 years old, her luck changed. Her dad died.
Everything changed after my dad died.
The day he died, an auntie came to pick her up at school.
Miriam.
Miriam was a relative who lived in Italy. The family decided she would take Halima and make sure she went to a great school. So Halima left her mother and siblings and was off to Europe. In Italy, they checked into a hotel.
As soon as we get to the hotel, she made a phone call for people to know we arrived and people start coming. I was in the room and she gave the other two male money and they were having argument about the money.
Halima knew that something was wrong when Aunt Miriam started arguing over money with some men.
Then I tried to open the door just to see what is going on. And she asked me to go back inside the room, so I went back.
There was no home in Italy. There was no school. Here's what there was. About $50,000. That's what Halima thinks she was sold into prostitution for.
And she was like, this is your job now. You have to go with the other girls. You have to do what they do.
When Halima said no, Aunt Miriam gave her a beating. Because this was what Aunt Miriam did. She was a trafficker. There was no way out.
There's no way. There's no way around it. That is no way around it, so.
A thick fog often blankets the old humid city of Bergamo. At around dusk every day, Halima joined a line of girls who stood on the sides of a long road.
We go to walk every day. We do it every day.
She wore makeup to look older and heels to look taller. A lot of those girls are African, and they've been bought and sold like Halima. Italy has a sex trafficking problem. According to the International Office of Migration, just last year, over 11,000 Nigerian women were registered coming into Sicily, and most were believed to be trafficked by ruling mafias working with Nigerian crime organizations. That's twice as much as the year before. The girls' families are often poor and desperate. They turn a blind eye. In all the years Halima spent by the side of the road, her mother never once checked in on her. Halima says it's too painful to go into that.
I really don't really want to go into that because I get very sad and I cry a lot, so I don't really want to go into that.
And when she was 15, Miriam decided to fly her out to London. This is a common move. Traffickers will take girls from place to place to avoid getting caught. And that's when one of the girls who worked with Halima gave her a phone number. A friend who might be able to help. Call her when you get to London.
She gave me a number that if I'm ready to escape, I should call that number.
So Halima hides the number under her shirt, dresses up, grabs her fake British passport. They arrive at King's Cross in London. Aunt Miriam gets on the phone. Halima runs.
So I run for about 20, 30 minutes.
She finally stops at a payphone on a corner.
So as soon as I get in the corner, I bring out the number and I beg for coins.
She begs for enough change to make that call, but where is she? She doesn't know. Her money runs out. The call drops. She begs for more change, checks the street name, calls again. An hour later, her friend comes to pick her up. After 5 years, Halima is free.
All I know is I want to stay alive. I don't want to die.
This is the part no one talks about. After all those years, freedom was terrifying. She was petrified of Miriam finding her. Not just that, she was in the UK illegally. So she was scared of getting caught. This happens to a lot of women who escape trafficking. They're too paralyzed with fear to get help.
Before, I don't trust anybody. I lost trust in humanity.
She trusted no one. She had no education, no professional skills, yet another challenge for women who escape. So for months on end, Halima just stayed indoors at her friend's house, watching television in English, a language she'd long forgotten.
Hunt for boy's mother after he's left home alone for 12 days.
She started getting these splitting headaches, night after night of insomnia, suicidal thoughts. It eventually landed her in the ER. That's where she met a doctor who had been trained to identify victims of the sex trade. Listen, he told her, you were trafficked. And to Halima, these words meant nothing. No, she told him, Aunt Miriam brought me. This is one of the hardest parts survivors have to face, understanding what happened. Halima says it was terrifying telling the truth to this doctor. It also ended up being what saved her.
I remember I always think maybe I should have like this magical power and just strangle it.
When Halima was a kid, standing on the side of the long road in Italy, she says she used to imagine she had magical powers and that she could disappear forever. She never got superpowers. Instead, she got something every bit as unlikely. Freedom from modern-day slavery. She got therapy, started processing an asylum request. And these days, she works at a bakery called Luminary, which teaches and employs survivors of trafficking. She makes cakes that are gooey and glittery, Barbie pink and soccer field green. They read, "You're a great dad," to "The best mom," and "Happy 10th birthday, Micah," with the sparkling exuberance of a girl who never got to live those moments herself. For The World, I'm Jasmine Garst.
Jasmine's story was produced by Andrea Crossan. Tomorrow, Jasmine reports on how Uganda has tried to help children who were trafficked for war.